ladies. Thank you very much. What a great song. And I thank God for that. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 51. And, you know, it was kind of neat coming into church right when the morning service was starting. I've never done that ever in 12 years. And I pulled in the parking lot. I said, boy, this is exciting. There's a lot of cars here. This is great, you know? And I've never got to see that. But as you're turning to Psalm chapter 51, I want to thank so many of you for praying. I don't know that this has ever happened to us, but last week, I think it was last week. I don't even know what day it is. I know it's Sunday. I know that. But last week, I got a phone call from Pastor Dave Thomason, who a good friend of mine and pastors in Troy. And he said, brother, you got to help me. I said, well, what do you need help with? He said, I need you to go to Canada. I said, brother, what? You know, and he began to explain that he was scheduled to speak in Canada for this marriage retreat, but things got confusing and the schedule conflicted and he just wasn't able to come. And I said, brother, that preacher may not want me to come and I don't know if I can come, you know. He said, well, let me give you his number. And so I called this Canadian pastor who planted a church there, and good man, faithful man. His dad was a church planter in Canada, and began to talk with him. And he told me, he said, brother, he said, I know I don't know you, but I got peace that you're the man that we need to have come to preach. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know about this. And then I thought, well, you know, it's not that far away. I'm thinking Eastern Canada, you know, like not that far from here. Well, then he told me where it was, Calgary, Canada. Anybody ever been to Calgary, Canada? Anybody? Some of you have. That is amazing. And he began to tell me, he said, preacher, last year we had someone fly in that got sick and they couldn't speak at the banquet or at the marriage retreat. This year, something else has happened. Preacher, please help us, you know? And what are you going to do, you know? And so we quickly began to try to work things out. My son came home from college for a few days, Caleb, so he could keep an eye on Joshua for a little bit and all of that. So my wife and I left last Wednesday. We left the house at 3:30 in the morning and got to Columbus and flew. You know, it's a long, long flight. And we got there. They picked us up. And, you know, we'd just been in a daze for days, you know. But I'll tell you, it was very, very sweet. We get to this church, a great church. And Canada is a very hard place to plant a church. And it's a dark place. In fact, the preacher told me it is really the forgotten mission field. I mean, we were in Calgary, 1.4 million people there. And every type of nationality you can imagine. And so I got to preach Wednesday night there in the church. And then I got to preach Thursday night. And then twice Friday morning. And twice Friday night and once Saturday morning, and we have just been going and going and going, but it has been a blessing, and I appreciate you allowing my wife and I to go, because we want to be a blessing. And I mean, we had pastors drive, we had people drive 10 hours to come to that from British Columbia and different places like that, just to be there for that marriage retreat. So we I got to speak. My wife got to speak. So it was a great, great blessing. And but let me tell you, I'm glad to be back in the United States of America. You know, we got off the plane, went through customs going into Canada. And there's, you know, an armed guard, a Canadian guard. And you have to go to them. And he said, what are you doing in Canada? I said, I'm speaking at a marriage retreat. Who's hosting the marriage retreat? Old Pass Baptist Church. What do you do back in the States? I'm a preacher. And he said, go on in. I said, all right, that sounds good, you know? And but anyway, it was a great blessing to be there. It snowed every day that we were there, all right? Every day. And so it was unusual, you know? And let me tell you, there is no sweet tea in the whole country of Canada, all right? It's not there. I've looked for it, all right? And they look at me strange. I ask them, do you have sweet tea? They're like, you know, no, I don't know. They just don't know what it is, you know. So, but anyway, but we're thankful to be back. And it was a great opportunity to minister. But I'm glad to be in my church today, all right? And they asked us to stay over. And I said, I'm going back home, all right? I got to go back. And so we planned that. But we're so very, very thankful to be here. And I'm thankful for a wife that is gracious enough to pack everything up and drag her all over the world, it seems like. And but we had a lot of fun together, you know. I will tell you this one thing, and this is, I just thought God had just blessed me in a special way. So the preacher one day, he said, "Hey, we're going to take you in. I want you to follow me in this car." And he had a car for us to drive. And driving down, now you have to understand, it's Canada, all right? And so I don't know all the different stuff about Canada and all the things like that. And I'm driving, and I look up, and I see a speed limit sign that says 110. I said, "Praise God, honey, look at this." Yeah. It was in kilometers, not miles per hour. And I'm saying, in that moment, I turned the sport mode on. I said, "Let's go. Let's do it right now," you know? But anyway, it was not what I thought, all right? Man, such a disappointment, too, you know? I didn't know if I was on the Autobahn or what, you know? So, but anyway. But we're thankful to be here today, and I want to thank for coming. And I thank the Lord for His church, and I'm so grateful to be here. I missed you while I was gone, and we are thankful to be back. Well, this morning, as we come to Psalm 51, I want to preach to you on this subject, the marvelous mercy of our God. The marvelous mercy of our God. And this subject has been just resonating in my heart on the way there to Canada, looking at this, studying this, and on the way back, looking and studying. I am thankful this morning for God's marvelous mercy. In fact, you know what the Bible tells us? In Titus 3:5, you don't have to turn there, it says, "But according to His mercy, He saved us." In Hebrews chapter 4, and verse number 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Brethren, this morning, our God is a God of tender mercies. In fact, the Bible tells us that His mercy endureth forever. You know that God's mercy is unlimited to you and me. Now, what is the mercy of God? Well, simply put, the mercy of God is His tender-hearted, loving compassion for all of us. In fact, folks, mercy is something that we do not deserve, but it is what God gives to us because it is who God is. Listen, God does give us His mercy, but God is merciful. In fact, as we think about the mercy of God, brethren, God is not sometimes merciful and sometimes judgmental. No, can I tell you that God is always merciful to you and me? Now, we need to think this morning about the mercy of God because it is His compassion. It is His kindness. It is His pity and His goodness that is shown to you and me. By the way, I could ask many of you to give your testimony of how you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And can I tell you what it would be a testimony of? It would be a testimony of God's mercy in your life. A testimony of God's mercy on how God brought the gospel to you when we were at this church. And I mean, I'm telling you, we were definitely not among just, rural people there. They were from all parts of the country. I mean, there were Filipino people there. There were, Ukraine people. Some of them had just came over from Ukraine. And they were talking about how they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And can I tell you what it was? It was really a testimony of God's mercy to you and me. Well, as we come to Psalm chapter 51, this is a different psalm because David is crying out for mercy. He is asking God for mercy. By the way, the cry for mercy is a cry for help. I want to ask you this morning, do you need help? I'm talking about the help that only God can give to you. Then hear me out today. If it is a cry for the mercy of God, God will help you. He will give you His mercy. In fact, as David is crying out to God, David is expressing his desire to be thoroughly right with God. Brethren, this morning as you sit in these pews, I do not know your heart. I do not know the details of your life. But I can tell you this, there is an Almighty God, a Creator God, who knows every detail of your life. And that God looks upon you not in judgment. That God looks upon you not in condemnation. But that God looks upon you in love and with tender mercy upon your life. Some people have a wrong idea of God. They have a wrong idea of God. When we were sitting on a plane and my wife was witnessing to a lady who was sitting beside of her, and the lady knew the Lord and they had good fellowship together, and the lady was talking about a coworker and how that things were not going good for her. And you know what the coworker said? The coworker said, "Well, I wonder why God is so mad at me." Do you know that there are so many people in our world today that think that God is out to get them? They think that God is hounding them, that God is waiting to knock them down, that God is waiting to bring judgment upon them. That we understand that because God is a God of righteousness and holiness, that He is a God of judgment. But brethren, I want you to notice today His mercy upon you and me. I do not deserve the mercy of God, but I want to praise Him today for His wonderful mercy. When we come to Psalm 51, now David is a saved man. David knows Jesus Christ is his Savior. But David needs the mercy of God. Why? Because David has gotten away from the Lord. David has allowed sin to come into his life. If you know the story of David, David has looked upon the woman and he has lusted after that woman. And he took another man's wife and he committed adultery with her. And in trying to hide the sin, because now Bathsheba is with child, David puts Uriah, that was Bathsheba's husband, on the front lines of the battle. And they withdraw at David's word. And can I tell you what took place? The man was killed. David was a murderer. David was a thief. He stole another man's wife. David lied. David, listen, he coveted that which was not his. And David lived with that for some time. In fact, we know the story in the book of 1 Samuel where the prophet came in and he looked at David and he said, "David, thou art the man." He said, "David, you are guilty before God. You have sinned before God and you've tried to cover the sin." And David knew that he was guilty. And David in Psalm 51 is crying out to God for mercy. Now, brethren, whether you know Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior, or you know, or whether you do not know Him as Savior, can I tell you what every Christian needs and what every non-Christian needs? We need the mercy of God. Let's study it today. Psalm chapter number 51. We begin in verse number 1. Notice as David is crying out to God, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David is saying that we are all born into this world sinners. Verse number 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I want you to notice back in verse number 1 where David says, "Have mercy upon me." Let's begin this morning in a word of prayer. Would you pray right now that God would work, He would speak to your heart, and that He would enable me to preach. Father, we come before Your presence. And Lord, it's such a blessing to be back, Lord, with Your people today. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I'm so blessed to be their pastor. And Lord, we're blessed this morning that we can sit and we can hear the Word of God. But Father, I pray that you would minister to our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, truly for those that are without Christ, that today they would recognize and understand the mercy of God and that they would receive you. And Lord, I pray that you will enable me to do what I can never do in my own strength, and that is preach your word and touch hearts. Lord, would you do that? Would you touch hearts and lives today? I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as we think this morning about the marvelous mercy of our God, folks, mercy, what is it? We've kind of given you the definition of it. But mercy is like when the Lord Jesus saw the multitudes. And he saw all the multitudes. And you know what he said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34? The Bible says that he was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having shepherd. You know what we do sometimes? We see large crowds of people, or maybe we don't want to be in large crowds, and we can almost get irritated with people. We can almost get to where, boy, I don't want to be around people. I want to be alone. But Jesus was not that way. When Jesus saw the multitudes, and by the way, you know what the multitudes were coming? They were coming for him. They were coming because they needed him. They were coming because they wanted something from him. And yet Jesus did not push them away. Jesus was moved with compassion. And brethren, let me tell you this morning. God in heaven is moved with compassion towards you this morning. No matter the heartache, no matter the sorrow that you are encountering, no matter what you are dealing with today, he is moved with compassion towards you. He knows every detail of your life. If you're lost today, he wants to save you because he loves you. He created you and he has made a place for you in heaven. He is moved with compassion. Do you know what I love to think? Every time that I come to church, God's moved with compassion towards me to speak to my heart. Every time I open his precious word, God is moved with compassion toward me to speak to me, to minister to me. Every time that I face temptation to sin, he is moved with compassion to strengthen me and to enable me to withstand that temptation. But when I do sin, can I tell you that he is moved with compassion to forgive and to cleanse and to restore me? That's what David is saying. You see, David knows that he has no right for God's mercy. That's why David begins, God, have mercy upon me. Brethren, do you know that there is nothing that anyone could ever do to diminish the love or the mercy of God? Take your Bibles and you're there in Psalm 51. Would you turn to Psalm 103? Psalm chapter 103. Now let me explain to you that when Jesus died on the cross, the mercy of God did not begin that day, and the mercy of God did not become greater that day. Please understand that the mercy of God really never changes. In fact, the Bible uses the term, it endureth forever. Do you know that it was the mercy of God that gave us Calvary and not Calvary that gave us mercy? You see, God had mercy upon us, and therefore he gave his only begotten Son just for you and me. That's how much he loves us. Brethren, I'm going to tell you this. We do not seek after God. God seeks after us. That's mercy. You see, the Bible says that he came into his own and his own received him not. In fact, the Bible goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We do not seek after him. In fact, we love him because he first loved us. That's his mercy. Now, you know what? It is not hard to be merciful to people who are kind and gracious to you. Back at, I know I'm bringing up things from this past few days, but you know, you're kind of immersed in that. But there was a Nigerian man there. He was a pastor and his precious wife. And they had planted, I think, 5 churches in Nigeria. And they were just here in the States and they loved that church. And I'm just going to tell you something. God knit our hearts together really quick. They were really funny people and just gracious people. When they would come up to us, they would almost like bow a little bit, you know? I wasn't used to that, you know? And when we got done yesterday, I think it was yesterday, all right? That was Saturday. When we got finished yesterday, he came up to me and he said, "Oh, Pastor, I wish you could come and preach to my people in Nigeria. Pastor," and then he said this, he began to cry and he said, "Pastor, I love you." And I'm going to tell you this, you know what? It wasn't hard for me to love him back. It wasn't hard for me to hug him and just the tenderness. It was almost as if God knit our hearts together and his love for his people and his people to grow. Listen, I didn't have a hard time being merciful to that man, but what about those who are difficult to deal with? Do you know that God does not have any difficulty with what we would classify as difficult people? He has mercy on everyone. By the way, today, God plays no favorites. And the Bible says that he is no respecter of persons. His mercy is towards you today. If you're sitting in this service or listening by means of live stream, I want you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the devil may have convinced you that God in heaven does not love you or like you or care for you, but it is a lie because that God has mercy upon you. And if you will turn to him, he will forgive and he will cleanse and he will restore you. That's the promise that we have. Psalm 103, I love this psalm. And we're not going to read the whole thing. But would you, maybe with a pen in hand, would you underline or circle or take note of every time we find the word mercy or merciful or some form of mercy. Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Look at his benefits. Can you look at them and think about them just for a moment? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Why? Because of his mercy. "Who healeth all thy diseases." Why? Because of his mercy. Now, we know that the Bible is not talking about necessarily physical disease. It is talking about spiritual disease. And every one of us is born in this world with a spiritual disease called sin. And our sin separates us from God. We read on here, verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." God crowns us. It is something that adorns us. By the way, if you've ever seen someone with maybe something that is like, for instance, a princess or maybe someone that is crowned homecoming queen, they are acknowledged in that way. There is something that adorns them. But God adorns us with his mercy. Let's read on. Verse 5. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Brethren, you are not without the mercy of God today. You know what? There may be people here that you do not know where you would go if you died this morning. And you may think, "Pastor, I have sinned against God." You may think, "Pastor, you don't know the sins I've done," and I do not. You may think there's no way that a God in heaven could forgive me and cleanse me, but I'm sorry, but his mercy is greater than your sin. His mercy is higher than your sin. His mercy, he knows all you've ever done, and he is waiting. He said, "To him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You know why? Because of his mercy. But maybe you're a child of God here this morning. Many of us are. We know the Lord. But maybe you are far from the Lord. It doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation, because that's not possible. But it can mean, like David in Psalm 51, that you are out of fellowship with God. You need His mercy. And David, who has stolen another man's wife, David, who has tried to cover that sin, David, who has murdered a man, can he have God's mercy? Yes. By the way, how does the prodigal ever come home? Can I tell you how he comes home? Because of the mercy of God. How do we get things right in our lives? Because of the mercy of our God. And may God help us today. Number one, I want you to notice, as we think about the marvelous mercy of our God, the request for God's mercy. Do you know that David requested it? David said, "Have mercy upon me." David came before God, and he did not deserve the mercy of God. He did not deserve God to forgive him and God to cleanse him. But he comes and he requests it. Aren't you thankful to know this morning that when you come before God in humility, that God does not push us aside? I am so grateful to know that today. His mercy is for each and every one of us. But folks, David had no right, humanly speaking, to say, "God, I need your mercy." David had no right to do that. In fact, David could not say, "Lord, I deserve your mercy." And by the way, none of us can say that today. Not me, not any of us here. We do not deserve God's mercy. That's why we ought to talk about it. That's why we ought to praise Him about it. That's why we ought to dwell on the mercy of God. How could a man like David, a man after God's own heart, commit such horrible sin? Can I tell you why? Because sin lies to each and every one of us. I mean, sin deceives us, does it not? And David was deceived. I believe David thought that somehow he could get away with his sin. But may I tell you that the answer for what you are dealing with today, whether it be in your home, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be with your children, whether it be with the situation at work, you need the mercy of God. You need His mercy. So what must we do? Request His mercy. Oh, do you remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee who went to the temple to pray? You know the story and how that the Pharisee prayed before God. And by the way, his prayer really didn't mean anything to God because he prayed thus within himself, is what the Bible says. And he prayed and said, "Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not as this publican. I thank Thee, Lord, that I am a man who fasts twice in the week and I give of my tithe." And he talked about his prayer life and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. That man did not receive the blessing of God, nor did he receive the mercy of God. It was the publican who would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven. The Bible says that he smote upon his breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know what the Bible says about that publican? That he went down to his house justified. Brethren, when you come to God and you ask for His mercy, He will give you His mercy. In fact, when we think about His mercy, do you know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, took the payment for all of our sins? Do you know that He paid the price for our filthy, rotten sin? And the price that Jesus had to pay was to go to the cross and bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And God would take the sin debt of the world and He would place it upon Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let's put it this way. Jesus took every ugly, terrible thing so that you and I could enjoy the wonderful blessings from God. Do you know what the Lord deserves? He deserves everything wonderful and beautiful. But you and I deserve nothing of that. You see, David requested for God's mercy. This morning, folks, if you're here without Jesus Christ and you come before God in simple childlike faith, you know that children are not afraid to ask often? Man, I'll tell you, kids ask me all the time, "Pastor, can I come to your treasure box?" I say, "Yes, you can." "And Pastor, it's my birthday. In 6 months, can I come to your treasure box?" "Yes, you can." You know what? I'm not going to deny that. I mean, hey, we can do half birthdays if we need to, you know? But you know what it is. A little child comes and in tenderness. And the Bible says that we must come to the Lord like a little child. Why don't we ask for mercy? Because we're proud. Because we don't think we need the mercy of God. Do you know that as a pastor, I need God's mercy day by day? I need His mercy to preach. I need His mercy to deal with difficult situations from time to time. But you need His mercy. You need His mercy to deal with difficult things on the job site and difficult things in your marriage and challenging things and things that try your faith. You need His mercy. Often I have said, God, please help me. Give me Your mercy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. David's request for mercy was answered by the Lord. Secondly, not only do we see the request for mercy, we see the riches of God's mercy. Now, folks, how rich is our God? Folks, He owns it all. Let me just say that. He will never run dry of His mercy. In fact, David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness." David had many transgressions, but he knew that God had a multitude of mercies. You know, I think some people come to church every Sunday and they think God's finished with them. Brethren, I want you to know God's not finished with you. God's not done with you this morning. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God knows why He created you. And you know, if you come to church thinking that I'm too much of a sinner, God could never use me, you are forgetting His mercy. You are forgetting the riches of God's mercy. Now, you know, my kids will come to me from time to time and they'll say, "Dad, I need this or that." Now, I do my best as a dad. If they need something, then I'm going to try to help them in that way. But you know what? There's a limit to how much I can help my kids. You understand that. There's a limit to how you can help other people. But God has no limit to His mercy. None whatsoever. Oh, in fact, David, let's go back to Psalm 51, if you would, please, because I want you to see, as David talks about the mercy of God, David mentions something. Verse number 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies." Look what he says, "Blot out my transgressions." Blot it out. Now, folks, have you ever got something on a white shirt or a white towel or a white sheet and it's just staring at you? You ever had that happen to you? Years ago, I remember when I was a youth director back in Illinois, and I got something on my shirt, and you know what? It was where my tie wouldn't cover it, you know? Isn't that just how it happens? You know, just in that one spot. And, I didn't know what to do. I was getting ready to go on the platform, and I had this spot on me, so I got a great thought in my mind. There's some liquid whiteout in my desk, you know? And you know what I did? I just took some whiteout and I just whited it out right there. Now, it ruined the shirt, but for that day, it worked, all right? But let me tell you this. I wanted it blotted out. I don't want you to see that. Do you know that I think sometimes that's why we fear to come before God? Because we know our sin. By the way, did not Adam and Eve, what did they do? When they had sinned against God, they ran and hid from God. They said, "God, don't look upon my sin. Lord, we have to hide." Why did Adam and Eve hide? By the way, God came looking for them. And what did God say? "Adam, where art thou?" God knew where Adam was, but He was giving Adam an opportunity to turn to Him in repentance, because God had mercy on Adam. Listen, if God didn't have mercy on Adam, He could have left Adam and Eve in the garden to their own devices. He could have cast them out. But God provided a sacrificial lamb. Brethren, I want you to know something. God gave His Son. God gave His Son for you and me because of His great mercy, the riches of His mercy. But David, he knows his sin. And he says, "God, blot out my transgressions." David is saying, "God, I don't want to see my sin." David has been dealing with this unconfessed, unforgiven sin. This morning, are you here and you have sin in your life that you think you're hiding, but you're not hiding it? Because an almighty, eternal God sees that sin, and you cannot be clean with that sin in your life. You know what? When you understand the mercies of God, you will say, God, blot out my transgressions. Boy, my mom, bless her heart, she only had one boy, and I think that's all that she could handle, all right? Because I was enough of a boy. And boys, sometimes you know what boys find? They find dirt. They find mud. In Tennessee, where I grew up, we had that old red clay. Boy, I'd get that stuff on me. I remember often my mom would say, no, you're not coming in this house. I just got it clean, you know? I think my mom wanted to clean the house and lock all the doors, you know, and just look at the house for a while, you know? How many moms feel that way sometimes? Yeah, I thought so. And my mom said, no, you're not coming to this house. And you know what she'd do? She'd take a water hose and hose me down outside. That's what she'd do. I mean, that was kind of, I don't know, maybe abusive a little bit, you know? But she'd hose me down. You know why? She said, you're not bringing that dirt in the house. Now, to me, it didn't matter where it was, all right? But my mom said, no. We got to blot it out. Brethren, this morning, are you sitting there in your seat thinking, Pastor, I need God to blot out my sin? Well, I'm going to tell you something. No matter how many times you have asked Him to forgive you, no matter how many times you have come before an all-merciful God, He will blot out your transgressions. He will do it. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In fact, Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. You know, from time to time, we can think about the sins of our past, the sins of our youth. We can think about sins of years gone by. And you know what? We don't want to remember those. But brethren, can I tell you what? When we come to God, you know what His mercy does? His mercy buries our sin in the depths of the deepest sea. And brethren, can I tell you, if you were to come to God and say, God, you know that sin? God said, no, I forgot it. God is the only one who has the ability to really forget our sins. Oh, listen, I can still remember the sins of my past and the sins of my youth, but God has blotted them out. The riches of God's mercy. Brethren, there is only one way. Only one way that you can be made clean. There's only one way that you can come to Jesus Christ, and that is by the mercy of God. Brethren, He washes us white as snow. You know why? The Christian life is really a life of new beginnings. You know why it's a life of new beginnings? Because of God's mercy. You know what? I believe in a church service just like this, you could start a new beginning today. You know why? You say, but Pastor, look, I'm not ready. God's ready. You say, Pastor, how could I have a new beginning today? Because of the mercy of God, He will cleanse you. He will wash you. He will restore you. He is that kind of God because of the riches of God's mercies. By the way, so often in life, the devil tempts us to sin and the devil condemns us because we sinned. And then you know what the devil does to us? The devil is a door slammer. The devil slams the door in our minds, and you know what he tells us? You'll never be used of God. God can never use you. You'll never have a good life. You'll never get over this wound, this hurt, this sin in your life. But can I tell you what God does? God is the God who opens the doors. And by the way, just the moment when the devil is closing a door, God is opening another door. Because the Christian life is really a new beginning. In fact, because of His mercy, God says, here is a new beginning. And you know what, David? Now, by the way, please understand this. As a Christian, I am not going to stand before God and be judged for the penalty of my sin because Jesus took my penalty on Calvary when He died on the cross. But I will reap what I sow here on this earth. In fact, the Bible says, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, the mercy of God does not erase the consequences of sin. You know, it doesn't erase it. You look at David's life. Did David deal with consequences of his sin? Absolutely. But did God forgive and restore David? Absolutely. At the very end of David's life, David wrote Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. And David said, "He restoreth my soul." Oh, David, yes, he suffered the consequences of his sin. And Christian, can I encourage you today? You ought to fear sin because that will help you to fear God, because sin deceives each and every one of us. Sin takes us further than what we could have ever imagined. You ask David. Ask him. Ask David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Was it worth it, David? It was not worth it. Oh, what David lost in the sin that he committed, and yet God still had the riches of his mercy. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go in closing to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And I want us to look in verse number 1, because I want us to bring this now down to the last point, not the request for God's mercy, not the riches of God's mercy, but the response to God's mercy. The response. Folks, do you know that your response is your responsibility? I'm not responsible for your response. You are. I'm responsible for that. And what you do with this message is your responsibility. But really, life comes down to my response to God. How are you responding to God? Are you responding in bitterness and anger? Or are you responding in humility and repentance? You know, I know of people that have gotten angry at God. They're mad at God. They've responded wrong, and that's how the devil wanted them to respond. But David responded. How did he respond to God's forgiveness and cleansing? And let me put it to you this way. You may say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not angry at God." But God has had mercy on every one of us here today. How have you responded to his mercy? Have you responded properly? Have you responded correctly to his mercy? You say, "Well, of course I am, Pastor. I'm here today." No, that's not what I'm saying. Look in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brethren, I want you to remember this today. The mercy of God should be our motive for everything in our Christian life. The Bible says, "I beseech you," Paul says to the church, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." You know what he's saying? Because God has had mercy upon you, abundant, rich mercy, then now you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice to him. Can I ask you something today? Have you presented your body a living sacrifice to God? You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" Well, I'll simply tell you. Are you yielded to him? Are you saying, "Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. Lord, I'm going to obey you." And we want to obey him because our body is a living sacrifice to him. We're living. We are working. We are serving. Why? Because of his mercy. Listen, the motive for what we do for Jesus Christ should not be out of duty. It should be out of love and in response to God's great mercy. Brethren, today, have you responded that way? You see, the great appeal to live the Christian life is based on the mercy of God. In fact, folks, I do not serve the Lord in order to receive his mercy. I serve the Lord because of his mercy. Because God has saved my lost soul. Because he has been merciful to me, I want to live for Him and love Him and serve Him all the days of my life. I do not understand it. How a Christian will not give their life to the Lord based on the mercies of God. You do not understand the mercies of God. It's our motive. Listen, I'm not serving the Lord so that I can go to heaven. That's not it. I'm going to heaven because at 17 years of age, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I am serving the Lord because He had mercy on me. And not just one time in the past. He has had abundant mercy. I do not deserve His mercy. By the way, can I tell you, if I got what I deserve, I would have to spend eternity in a place called hell, separated from God forever. And folks, if you got what you deserve, you would have to go there with me as well. But folks, guess what? Because of His mercy, Jesus Christ came to this earth and He bled and died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Now we have the mercy of God. No wonder David, who loved the Lord and who had served the Lord and who had walked with God, and now he was overcome with the darkness of his sin. No wonder David cried out and said, God, I know that You're a God of loving kindness. I know, God, that You're a God of tender mercies. And I know that You can blot out my transgressions. You know what? If you will come before God, whether you are lost or whether you are saved. By the way, all of us are sheep here this morning. You're either saved sheep or you're a lost sheep. But we're all sheep. And whether you're saved or lost, you know what? When you come before Him, if you're lost and you say, Lord, I know that You died for me, and I believe Jesus is the only way, please forgive me of my sin. Blot out my transgressions. I'll tell you what He will do. He will save you. He will adopt you into His family. And brethren, that is mercy upon your life. But if you're a Christian here today and you're away from God, you have allowed sin into your life. You've asked God to forgive you 100 times moreover for it. Can I tell you, because of His mercy, He will blot out your transgressions. Listen, I am glad that I get to serve God because of His mercy. By the way, you know, another part of His mercy is that we are to give mercy. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you know that many of us are not willing to give mercy, and that is forgiveness to others, even though God has forgiven us? And we, in response to God's mercy, should respond to being merciful to others. Every person here this morning, you are a recipient of God's great mercy. Mercy didn't begin when you got saved, folks. Mercy has been operating all the time. But today, in closing, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not know where you would go if you died today, please hear me. There is a God in heaven who looks upon you right now, and He looks upon you with a smile upon His face because that's how much He loves you. And He looks upon you, He's waiting to forgive and cleanse and blot out your transgressions and give you His mercy and adopt you into His family. But if you're saved here this morning, and maybe many of you ought to come to this altar and just fall on your face and say, Lord, thank You for Your mercy. I don't deserve it. We ought to say that to God often. And maybe you're not serving the Lord. You are not understanding His mercy. And can I just simply tell you, you're not thankful for the mercy of God if you will not serve Him. You're not grateful for His mercy if you are not, if you're holding back from God this morning. I am so grateful for the marvelous mercy of our God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I've given the message that I believe You wanted me to give. But Lord, I pray now that You will bring Your conviction and Your convincing of this truth. Father, do Your work. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And a very important time of the service and a very quiet, still time. I want you to be honest. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. I know that I'd go to heaven if I died today because I've accepted Him and I received Christ. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. I know the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. But maybe you're here this morning and you could not raise your hand. I want to make you a promise right now that no one is looking and I will not embarrass you or call you out. This will be between you and God and me. But how many would say, Preacher, would you pray for me this morning? I made you a promise. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Pray for me, Pastor, this morning. I do not know where I'd go if I died this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and just hold it up high? And I want to pray for you. Let me pray for you. Now I want to ask every Christian here today, Pastor, I've gotten away from the Lord, and I know that I need His mercy. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. I know. I've gotten away from the Lord, and I need His mercy. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It's for you. It's for all of you. He knows the sin. It's not hidden. It's open before Him. How many this morning would say, Preacher, I'll be honest, I'm obviously not grateful for the mercy of God because I have not given my life to Him. I'm not willing to do whatever He wants me to do. And I recognize this morning that there's areas where I'm limiting what God wants to do in my life because I really am not grateful for His mercy. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Thank you. Oh, may God do His work today. How many would say, Pastor, I am grateful and I praise His holy name for His mercy this morning. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Amen. Let's stand together. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And then when I get done praying, we're going to have the piano begin to play and Brother Stevenson's going to come and lead us in a hymn. But today, if God is dealt with your heart, you need Jesus, come. He'll have mercy. If you need cleansing and restoration, His mercy is here. It's available for you. And if you want to come today and just thank Him and praise Him for His wonderful mercy, then the altar is there. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. And Lord, I am overwhelmed by Your mercy. I don't deserve Your mercy. Lord, there's not one good thing in my life that I deserve. It's only because of Your mercy. And Lord, I pray today that many, many would come and seek forgiveness and cleansing. That they would, Lord, come to You, that You would blot out their transgressions and You promise to do so. Father, may this be a sweet time, a time of fellowship with You, a time of confession and, Lord, praise. I pray You bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll go to hymn number 496. If God has spoken to you, as soon as we begin to sing, leave your seat, come and find a place to pray. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll help you. Hymn number 496, I surrender all. Will you surrender? Because of His mercy. Let's sing it together. Thank you. this week, we ought to think and talk and praise Him for His mercy. His mercy. Oh, I thank God for His mercy. It endureth forever. Well, tonight, I pray you'll be right in your place, and I'm looking forward to preaching this evening, and we'll have a great time of fellowship together. Ladies, if you want to get signed up for the banquet, the Ladies Friendship Banquet, please do so. Just as soon as we dismiss here, there'll be someone at the table there, and they can assist you there. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. My wife and I will greet you, and I'm just glad I got to stand today, all right? Because how many ever has a hard time staying awake in church? Maybe sometimes you work hard. Well, you know what? It's easy for me because I get to stand, you know? Today, if I'd have been sitting, I'd have been sleeping, all right? And so well, I'm thankful to be here. I pray you'll be here tonight. Brother Stevenson, close this.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for your mercy that endures forever. I pray, Lord, that we would cling to you and understand that you do love us and you do make a way for us to be able to come to you with our issues, with our problems, and with our sin and cast that all at your feet. And Lord, we can leave sanctified and Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. I pray, Lord, that we would take that here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, bring us back tonight, and give us safety on the road. In Jesus' name, amen.